Chapter 6, Extracts of Other Letters to the Wessels Family. The Leaven of Truth. Our special interest should be in God's work. Our whole soul should be full of zeal to work while the day lasts, for the night cometh in which no man can work. The message of warning must be given to the world. I dare not remain indifferent when there are souls to be saved for whom Christ has died. The leaven of truth must be introduced. We see that cities are becoming as they were in the days of Noah, and as were Sodom and Gomorrah. The inhabitants are planting and building. Their passions are stimulated to intense activity by games, horse racing, and intemperance of every description. The fever swells every vein, and the heart throbs with the restless tide of unhallowed emotion. Thousands upon thousands are sunk in a stupid lethargy. Their sleep is as deep as if they were under a powerful, poisonous drug. They are dead in trespasses and sins. And yet no work for God is being done in these cities. The entire tendency is toward corruption, and the end is a moral prostration which means death to the soul. Why should we not be alarmed? Nothing but the leaven of truth can reach the people of these cities. The aid of the great I Am must be relied on. The healing fountain must be proclaimed. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, and drink. The balm of a Savior's love must be presented, to heal the sin-bruised souls. The mighty energies of the Holy Spirit, with all its quickening, recuperative, transforming power must be applied to the palsy-stricken souls. I see no way that we can do this work other than to engage in medical missionary work. Opposers of the truth. The men who have lately apostatized say that the Sabbath does not amount to much. It makes no difference whether we keep it, or do not keep it. They say they are preaching sanctification, but where does their sanctification come in? They begin the work of disaffection by their criticism. Here is where they fell, and here is where many will fall. To complain of our brethren in the ministry, to be suspicious of the gifts the Lord has set in the church, to always be finding spot and stain in something said or done is to follow the enemy. If one chooses to obtain this class of education, Satan will help in a masterly manner. After the criticizers tell all that appears to them to be out of joint, they go into the manufacturing business, and commence to weave webs of falsehood. They abuse the confidence that has been reposed in them, and strive to destroy the reputation of the very ones that have ever been their truest friends. Ellen White's example in giving. I have been devoting all my talents of money and of time, golden, God-given time, to the service of the Lord Jesus. I am building for time and for eternity. I study every pound which I invest in buildings for myself, lest I shall in any way limit the resources which I can invest in the upbuilding of the cause of God. I do not regret that I have done this. We have seen some trying times, but amid all we say, it pays. Evil of gossiping. Those who do evil with their gossiping tongues, who sow discord by selfish ideas and thoughts by any jealousies, evil surmisings, or covetousness, they grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for they are working at cross purposes with God, instead of answering the purposes of Christ, instead of answering to the prayer of Christ that His disciples may be one as He is one with the Father. They are working entirely in the lines the enemy has marked out. Medical missionary work. There was a time when in America the cause of God was in distressing need of help to work the new fields. The work struggled against difficulties and opposition of every type. Wherever it was received, the entrance of truth was a blessing. The truth elevated the debased, reformed the wrongdoer, educated the ignorant, comforted the mourner, restrained the tyranny of slavery, and liberated those that were bound. It introduced reforms in varied lines. The truth presented as it is in Jesus won a place in the world's confidence, and it should have gone forward, attaining victory after victory. The present truth for the time made its way by teaching men to search the Scriptures. It attracted the attention of scientific inquirers, of seekers for truth in all lines. Physical reforms, intellectual and moral advantages, were presented in rays of divine light. Wherever the light of truth has penetrated from America to other countries and souls have been converted to the truth, the same results have been seen. The evidence will follow the entrance of truth into new territories. In all these fields, the medical missionary work was to be connected with the gospel ministry. In new portions of the Lord's vineyard, the foreign countries where prejudice is strong and the habits of the people have become stereotyped, the truth could not at first be presented in all its decided points. The medical missionary work must prepare the way for the truth to find entrance. Then the Bible truth should be presented by judicious men, men who are fitted to carry the work because they themselves are worked by the Holy Spirit. Then reforms would be seen. The working of truth will be manifest in elevating the debased, restraining tyranny, liberating the bondmen, and reforming public administrations. Had the work in Africa been carried forward as it should have been, the present war would not have been as it now is. The presentation of Bible truth, accompanied by the medical missionary work, would have found favor with the people who, if properly treated, are not treacherous and cruel. The truth received by them would have worked changes more decided than have been revealed in a so-called Christian nation that have had the gospel preached to them. Unity in the church. The Lord would have His church purified from all contention and strife. Every phase of character is to be in harmony with the character of Jesus Christ. Unity will then be seen as the sure result. Divisions are the fruit of Satan's work. Those who love God and keep His commandments will ever reveal the meekness and lowliness of Christ, because they have learned in the school of the great teacher. We need to be worked by the Holy Spirit. Daily I feel the need of increased faith and increased power in faith to represent the character of Christ to our world. Self-denial for the work. Every soul is precious in God's sight, and I am wondering what can be done for the destitute fields where the flock of God is without a shepherd. I have thought that if every Seventh-day Adventist family would, during the year 1900, cut off every needless indulgence, and place the money thus saved in the Lord's treasury, there would be meat in His house. A rich blessing would rest upon those thus practicing self-denial. The Lord would give them more to give. We need so much just now these fruits of self-denial, to support women missionaries in the field. Oh, how my soul has thirsted for the pennies and shillings and pounds which have slipped through the fingers of those who do not realize how much they have spent for self and pride. Christ is hungering and thirsting for the money that men and women and children are thoughtlessly spending for self-gratification. If they denied their inclinations, this money might be used to do a most precious work for Christ. He says to all, old and young, "We are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." A work is to be done for God's people, that they may employ their powers aright. God desires everyone to bear his part in saving money for the many calls that come in for help to carry forward the work of God. This work is never to cease. It is to make provision to educate, educate in a knowledge of the Word of God. It is to open the Scriptures to those who are in darkness. The relation of man to his fellow man. In the Lord's plan, human beings have been made necessary to one another. If all would do their utmost to help those who need their help, their unselfish sympathy and love, what a blessed work might be done. To everyone God has entrusted talents. These talents we are to use to help one another to walk in the narrow path. In this work each one is connected with the other, and all are united with Christ. It is by unselfish service that we improve and increase our talents. The members of the Church of God on this earth are as the different parts of a machine, all closely related to one another, and all closely related to and dependent on one great center. There is to be unity in diversity. No member of the Lord's firm can work successfully in independence, detached from the others. There are many who have not a clear, Distinct understanding of the relation of man to his fellow man in the work of God. The members of God's church stand in close relation to one another. All are to use their entrusted capabilities in his service, that each may minister to the perfection of the whole. Each is to work under the supervision of God. By Christ's wonderful union of divinity with humanity, we are assured that even in this world we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It is God's plan that each believer shall be a help to those who have not yet become partakers of the divine nature. Christ has pledged himself to cooperate with those to whom he has entrusted talents. He has pledged himself to train us to be his co-laborers. He will help us to follow his example, doing good and refusing to do evil. We are to be consecrated channels through whom the love of Christ flows to those in need of help. Every true worker is connected with heavenly instrumentalities. Of the angels it is said, "Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation?" Christ sends his light to those who keep the windows of the soul open heavenward. Under the Holy Spirit's influence, they work the works of God. He who approaches nearest to obedience to the divine law will be of the most service to God. He who follows Christ, reaching out after his goodness, his compassion, his love for the human family, will be accepted by God as a worker together with him. Such a one will not be content to remain on a low level of spirituality. He will constantly reach higher and higher. Used in appeal to follow Christ. Christ is the touchstone of all hearts. He is the revealer of the Father and of the Father's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Christ is also the revealer of the hearts of men. He is the exposer of sin. By him the characters of all are to be tested. To him all judgment has been committed, because he is the Son of Man. Then what is the work that you are to do? You are to receive the precious Savior as your very best friend, and honor him by doing his will. As many as received him, choosing him above all other friends, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Receive him as your light and life. He so loved you that he died that you might live forever. Believe in him. Regard him as your best and truest friend. Come to him, saying, "Lord, I give myself to thee just as I am. I have wasted many years of the life that thou didst redeem by the sacrifice of thine own life. Wilt thou forgive me?" Christ has made it possible for you to be received as a member of the royal family, a child of the heavenly King. The Savior will receive you as you come to him, and will give you power to overcome. He declares this is life eternal, that they might know thee the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Will you not appreciate this great gift of life, eternal life in the kingdom of God? Read in the scriptures of the advantages offered to those who live for Christ, and you will see that those who live for self will at last lose all. Do not allow the world to engross your thoughts. Take your position on the side of Christ. Be willing to share the trials and disappointments and self-denials that came to him in the life that he lived for us on this earth. To a younger Christian. Place yourself where you can use your powers of mind to the best advantage for him. But that is not all. Your physical powers must be employed in his service. In order to gain strength, you must give your physical powers exercise. No youth can engage in constant study or sedentary employment, and have harmonious action of the physical, mental, and moral powers. Every part of the living machinery must be used. Both mind and body must be given exercise. Abstain strictly from all stimulating food or drink. You are God's property. You are not to abuse any organ of the body. You are to care wisely for your body, that there may be a perfect development of the whole man. Is it not an act of ingratitude on your part to do anything so to weaken your vital forces that you are unable properly to represent him or to do the work he has for you to do? Your time belongs to him who has purchased you with an infinite price. He wants you so to use your powers as to glorify his name. If in the past you have failed to realize that you are not your own, to do with as you please, but that you belong to God, both by creation and by redemption, will you not now redeem that time? Seek to live a useful life, a life elevated and ennobled by the thought that you are God's property. Seek to improve, that you may be of the greatest possible use to your owner. Miracles in the closing conflict. It is impossible to give any idea of the experience of the people of God who will be alive on the earth when past woes and celestial glory will be blended. They will walk in the light proceeding from the throne of God. By the means of the angels there will be constant communication between heaven and earth. And Satan, surrounded by evil angels, and claiming to be God, will work miracles of all kinds to deceive, if possible, the very elect. God's people will not find their safety in working miracles, for Satan would counterfeit any miracle that might be worked. God's tried and tested people will find their power in the sign spoken of in. They are to take their stand on the living word. It is written. This is the only foundation upon which they can stand securely. Those who have broken their covenant with God will in that day be without hope and without God in the world. The worshippers of God will be especially distinguished by their regard for the fourth commandment, since this is the sign of his creative power, and the witness to his claim upon man's reverence and homage. The wicked will be distinguished by their efforts to tear down the Creator's memorial, to exalt the institution of Rome. In the issue of the contest, all Christendom will be divided into two great classes: those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, and those who worship the beast and his image and receive his mark. Although church and state will unite their power to compel all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark of the beast, yet the people of God will not receive it. The prophet of Patmos beholds them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Fearful tests and trials await the people of God. The spirit of war is stirring the nations from one end of the earth to the other. But in the midst of the time of trouble that is coming, a time of trouble such as has not been since there was a nation, God's chosen people will stand unmoved. Satan and his angels cannot destroy them, for angels that excel in strength will protect them. In